that I might learn thy statutes. Dear congregation, often the believer learns from the word in the pathway of affliction. The Holy Spirit comes and applies the word in that wonderful way. And no wonder, because the Lord is with us through the floods and through the flames. He's there. The Holy Spirit is there because he is God. And in affliction, he applies the word to our hearts. With David here, he had been suffering persecution, as we saw a couple of weeks ago on the Wednesday evening. But he recognizes the hand of God at this time and the benefit he has received. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. He recognizes the good that has come. But you consider this further here this morning. He was seeking to do that which was right, in opposition to those who were persecuting him, as we saw in verse 69 and verse 70. Yet still he was suffering an affliction. And it reminds us that though we may be seeking to do that which is right, we may still suffer affliction. Well, let us see the good. Let us trace the hand of the Lord. Let us consider how the Lord can so use his word in affliction for the good of our souls. Well, let's come directly to these words this morning. And I like us, as we come to verse 71 this week, to consider profiting in affliction. Profiting in affliction. When the affliction is sanctified, and so we are helped to grow in grace, and we are brought closer unto the Lord. Profiting in an affliction. A storm may come, like the storm has come today. And yet, even in the storm, good can come. And this is what the psalmist sees here. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. And right at the outset, as you consider affliction, can you trace the hand of God? Well, first of all, this morning I'd like us to consider the affliction. Secondly, the recognition. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. We recognize something in affliction. And then thirdly, if the Lord spares and time permits, the prophet. The affliction, the recognition, and the prophet. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now David in the forefront considers what he had been facing from his enemies, as we saw a few weeks ago, verse 69. The proud have forged the lie against me, but I will keep thy precepts, my heart with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease, but I delight in thy law. He'd faced persecution. He had been vilified. In Psalm 35, verse 11, we read, false witnesses did rise up. They laid to my charge things that I knew not. They spake against him. Psalm 56, verse 5, every day they wrest my words. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They took his words and they wrested them. They twisted them. And they spake these twisted words to others. Their thoughts were against the psalmist. They had gathered together and they plotted against him. They had taken his words and wrested them and spake so unkindly about him. The proud have forged a lie against me. He was suffering the affliction of persecution. And we think today of many in Iran. They're so suffering. In China, in Eritrea, North Korea. Around 60,000 North Korean Christians are locked up today because of their faith. 60,000 Christians are in prison today in North Korea. How so many are suffering the affliction of persecution. And yet we are reminded that all that live godly will suffer persecution. So you and I will, to some measure, throughout our lives, suffer persecution. And we see this increasingly in this ungodly nation in which we live. One can be falsely accused. The proud have forged a lie against me. Verse 69. They make up a lie, maybe in the workplace. And you may have recently faced such. People are gossiping about you. They're lying about you. And it's a hard affliction to bear. Much unkindness comes our way from the lips of ungodly men. Unkind and hurtful words. And it's not easy to walk down this pathway of affliction, suffering, persecution. The psalmist here particularly considers this pathway. But we can open this up a little further this morning and consider many other pathways of affliction. In Psalm 34 we read, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many are the afflictions. The storms keep coming upon us. The waves keep crashing down upon us. Many are the afflictions. Different trials, different afflictions that come our way. We're to trust the Lord. And in affliction, we're to seek to live a godly life. And be sure of this, the Lord will not fail you. He will come to your aid. He will support you in affliction and in time deliver you from it. From every affliction. It's not just one trial. We do not just get one storm in the winter, do we? There's many storms. We face many and afflictions. It's not just a few. Young people here this morning, as you live in this world, you will face many a trial, particularly for the sake of Christ. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Well, let's think of certain afflictions this morning. First of all, the affliction of sickness. Sickness comes upon us, and one can struggle. One can know pain within and discomfort. There's a measure of sorrow. One can struggle down the pathway of sickness. Financial trials. The bills keep coming in, and we wonder how we're going to pay that bill. Yet we prove again and again that the Lord provides, but we can struggle financially. Then consider the affliction of loneliness. Yes, we know the Lord is with us, but loneliness can creep upon us. And we feel it at times. Yes, we have the church family. We have our family, but we can feel alone in the school and the college and the workplace. And we feel it, and it's a hard and affliction to bear. There's so few who want to talk of the Lord in the workplace. We feel different. And then we can consider a trial or affliction of weakness. We just feel so weak in our bodies, maybe, but then within. And yes, we can sing with the children of Israel on the other side of the Red Sea, the Lord is my strength and song. Yet at times we feel that weakness and we need the Lord to come and strengthen us within. We can feel weak, the trial of weakness. One can know that restlessness in the mind, a mental restlessness, and it's hard to concentrate. So many things going around the mind. So many things, like a storm going around your head. Job describes such a restlessness in Job 14, verse 4. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise and the night be gone? And I am full of tossings to and fro until the dawning of the day. There, Job, he found it hard to sleep. He wanted the night to pass so quickly because he was restless. Yes, he knew what it was to focus on the Lord. But he also knew this restlessness with him. And we can have this affliction of restlessness. Many afflictions. Now some afflictions take us down a long pathway. But they are not forever. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, "Affliction may be lasting, but it's not everlasting." And you consider the affliction or the afflictions you are facing. They can be so hard. And it may seem to you that it's been a long time, but they are not everlasting. And in comparison to eternity, they will soon be over. Every affliction you are facing one day will be past. Deliverance will come. Clear skies will be before you. And then one day you will bask on the shore of heaven. The children of Israel, they were delivered from Egypt. Elijah was delivered from that low spirit. Hezekiah was delivered from Sennacherib. Daniel from the lion's den. The disciples from the storm. And Christ from the sufferings he faced here upon earth. Now, so often in the Psalms, as we did this morning in Psalm 55, we consider chiefly the sufferings of Christ. Our Lord there in that Psalm thought of Judas, who took sweet counsel and walked with him to places of worship. He was suffering, though, as we see in that Psalm, yet his sufferings are past. You will be delivered. We face many afflictions, but we will be delivered from them all. Well, before we move on, we need to sit down and trace the hand of God in our afflictions. We need to recognize the providence of God. God is not the author of sin, but his providence extends to all creatures and their actions. And so these proud men, they caused difficulties for David, yet it was in the providence of God. Dear brothers and sisters, certain storms we must face in the providence of the Lord. Sometimes in providence the Lord delivers us from facing some difficulty, but there are certain difficulties we must face in the providence of God. Sometimes the storm comes right to us. You think of this present storm. It's come right to the UK, over the whole of the UK. And not one part of the UK is exempt from the storm. Sometimes storms come directly to us. It's all in the providence of God. Nothing is outside his most holy and wise providence. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism we read, God's works of providence are his most holy and wise and powerful, preserving and governing all his creatures and all their actions. The storms we face come to us in God's most holy and wise providence. He has willed them. He has ordered them. And we, like Joseph, need to recognize God's hand in affliction. Remember what he said to his brothers? Genesis 45, verse 4. Joseph said unto his brethren, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near. And he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." God did send me. And you considered what Joseph faced because of his brothers, the hardship, the difficulties in Potiphar's house, the imprisonment. Yet he traced the hand of God. And we do well in every affliction to trace the hand of God. "God did send me," said Joseph. We recognize that the Lord raiseth the stormy wind. Psalm 107, verse 25. He raises the stormy wind. He is in control. And we need to recognize this. And when we recognize that God is in control, we can take comfort because we know that God will bring us through. If it was not God, you would never get through your affliction. Well, first of all, this morning, the affliction. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted." that I've been tested, that I have felt it. Well, let's consider secondly, and very briefly, the recognition. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. David sat down and considered the wisdom of God. This affliction was for his good. Now, at times the believer may question, surely was it really meant to be this way, Lord? I must say this, lovingly to you all, as I do to myself. We must not make our verdict upon our limited wisdom. We must not make our verdict upon our limited wisdom. We must look to the Lord who is of infinite wisdom and submit to him. In Isaiah 55 verse 8 we read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." One may say, well, if only it had gone that way. But it didn't. If it had gone the easier way, you may have not been blessed and profited. Isaiah 55 verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His ways, his thoughts, his wisdom is so much higher. He has a purpose and it's for your good. We may be in the dark and we may never understand what is particularly happening to us. We may even get confused and it's hard to focus. But let's recognize, as with the psalmist, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. And we need to take comfort in those words. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We see here this recognition. And we need to recognize that the Lord is acting for our good. He has such infinite wisdom. And he acts for our good. All things work together for good. Let us not make a verdict on our limited understanding. It is for our good. How we need to recognize this. When a storm comes, one can be fearful. Oh, to recognize that the Lord is dealing with us for our good. You see, the Lord so loves you. His wisdom is infinite. And he's working out all things together for our good. So with this in mind, though we may be crying, though we may be in pain, though we may struggle, though we may be confused, and it may take a while for us to think this or say this, we must say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good to focus on the Lord in affliction. You see, often in the trial, the believer grows and the graces flourish. On cold, wind-swept mountains, some of the most loveliest flowers grow. And in the harsh affliction, often the graces flourish. It is good for me. And though we may struggle, though we may find it so hard, we need to recognize this great truth. It's so easy to murmur and complain. If we murmur and complain, we need to seek fatherly forgiveness. The children of Israel, they murmured, they complained. How they needed to seek fatherly forgiveness. We do need to do that. And then we need to recognize God's hand. Thirdly and finally, the prophet. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. It is good for me. See there, David recognizes the blessing of affliction. And he recognizes that through affliction, he has often been helped and he has profited it. The Puritan Nathaniel Vincent wrote this: saints are great gainers by affliction. Saints are great gainers by affliction. Often in affliction, God teaches us lessons from his word. Where there is the need, one can be corrected through the affliction and through the word. We saw this a few months ago in verse 67. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. And you see there the Lord had used the affliction to bring back the wandering servant. The Lord had used his word to rebuke and to convict in order to restore. And that's a blessing, isn't it? It is good for me that I have been afflicted. And if you can look back and you can see the way the Lord has sent a certain affliction to humble you, to cause you to receive the word and cause you to turn your feet to the right way, that's a blessing, isn't it? And we thank God for that affliction that brought us to our knees and helped us to walk in the right way. That's what the psalmist recognized. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept thy word. I was in the world. I had worldly faults. I had eyes for sin. Yet the Lord brought an affliction and turned my eyes to consider my Saviour. Well, let's open this up further as we close this morning. Often in affliction, like David, we are instructed in the way of duty and taught afresh the privileges that belong to us. Let me just briefly bring this to you. Sometimes in affliction, we are brought to this point where we so focus on the Lord and we consider how blessed we are compared to others. Is that not what Asaph experienced? He was wondering what was going on in his life until he went to the house of God and understood the end of the unconverted and realized how blessed he was. Often in affliction, we are reminded of how privileged we are as the people of God. You see, the Lord, through affliction, often weans us off this world and causes us to lean on him. We're instructed in the way of duty and taught afresh the privileges that belong to us. Well, let's consider some examples. Firstly, in affliction, we are taught to pray, meditate, and read. It's often through affliction we are taught our need of God. We're humbled, or we may feel our weakness. We may know our struggles, and we're brought to that point, Lord, I need thee. And bless God for the affliction that has caused you to truly pray, seeing your total need of the Lord. And what a blessing that is when we earnestly pray, I need thee, Lord. I cannot struggle through this affliction on my own. I need thee. Oh, that we would pray more like that when things are going well. But you see the blessing of affliction. We're called to earnestly pray, showing to the Lord our need. We're taught to pray, aren't we? The Word of God instructs us. We're to pray, we're to meditate, and we're to read each and every day, as we see in Psalm 1. Through affliction, we learn this lesson. We are taught to go to the Lord and commune with him. We are taught to listen to. And you know, I tell you, it's a precious thing in affliction just to pray and then to be looking out for the Lord's answer. Keep close to me. Look to me. The word of God so comes home. Affliction has a way of impressing this upon us that we are to pray, meditate, and read. What a blessing when we're found just sitting and meditating on the Lord in affliction. I can do nothing else, Lord, but think of thee. Secondly, we are taught to walk humbly with God in affliction. How affliction aids the believer in a humble walk or adultery. Sadly, sometimes in affliction, one can murmur and complain, but the Lord draws near and he humbles. How affliction aids us to walk in a humble way. Micah 6, verse 8, we're instructed from the word of God to walk humbly with God. How affliction has often helped us to walk humbly with God. We can do nothing else. We talk of humbling experiences, and that those experiences bring us to the feet of Jesus. I do not know how it is with you, but sometimes I find this silence comes over me in affliction, and the silence comes. How small I am, how weak I am in comparison to God. The silence comes. Psalm 37, verse 7. Rest in the Lord. At the root of the Hebrew word, it's be silent. You see, at times we try to work out things in our minds. The Lord says, be silent. Rest in the Lord. And often in affliction, we're brought to a point, we can't say anything more, can we? We're silenced before the Lord. And we're unable to walk humbly with God. A silence comes. And your feet go forward, walking humbly with God. Bless God when you are silenced in affliction. And you are aided to walk humbly with God. Oh, for the silencing of my soul in affliction. Can I ask, do you know anything of this? You're trying to work things out, but then the silence comes. Lord, I submit to thee. I submit to thy infinite wisdom. My wisdom is finite. Thy wisdom is infinite. I submit to thee. A silence descends on the soul, but then faith appears and arises above. No wonder we can say, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. I've been silenced, but then I've been helped to walk humbly with God, looking on him. Thirdly, we are taught to love in affliction. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Our Lord made plain in that Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, verse 44, that we are to love our enemies. And we're taught to love Christ. If ye love me, keep my commandments. How often in affliction we are taught to pity our enemies and to love them. And we're taught to love Christ. Can I ask you, are you taught this scriptural truth in affliction? Now you think of David, he had been persecuted, but he had been taught to love his enemies. And he had been taught to love Christ. We trace the Lord's loving hand and we consider his love in affliction. He rebukes us because of love, as we see in Revelation. And the Heavenly Father so loves us, and so we are afflicted. We are taught to love others. We are taught to love Christ, considering his love. And that is a prophet of affliction, isn't it? When we find ourselves saying to the Lord in affliction, I love thee. It's a blessing, isn't it? And the affliction has aided us to love Christ. Can I ask you here this morning, are your afflictions really aiding you to love Christ? Are you saying to Christ more in affliction than I love thee? If you aren't, ask the Lord to use this affliction that you might love Christ the more and love your enemies. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. When we're silenced, we're found at the feet of Jesus, and we recognize the Lord's hand in affliction, and we say to the Lord, I love thee. Oh, that I would more with speed in affliction tell Jesus that I love him. Fourthly, we are taught to be patient in affliction. If you turn with me to James chapter 5, verses 10 and verse 11, we read these words. Take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We think there of those prophets who were an example of suffering affliction and patience. You see, when we're in affliction at times, we so want the affliction to pass, but the days pass, the months pass maybe. And the Lord teaches us the scriptural truth of being patient. Aren't we not taught patience in affliction? We consider Job. Ye have heard of the patience of Job. The Lord teaches us this, and it's to our profit to be patient in affliction. As a church as a whole, to be patient in the affliction in these days that are facing the people of God. Well, on we could go. There is profit in affliction. There is sanctified affliction. We profit, we grow, we progress in sanctification through affliction. And that's what we desire, do we not? Yes, the affliction can be hard to bear and we long to be delivered. But in the meanwhile, we want this affliction to be sanctified to us. That we might profit, that we might grow, that we might learn patience, that we might learn to walk humbly with the Lord, that we might learn to say to Jesus more often in the day, I love thee. We desire the affliction to be sanctified. John Flavel, the Puritan, wrote, the power of godliness did never thrive better than in affliction. The power of godliness did never thrive better in affliction. Can I ask you, are you growing in grace in the winter storms you face in life? Are you loving Jesus more? You may be saying, but this is a little strange to me. Ask the Lord that the affliction might be sanctified and I might be blessed, that I might be able to say with the psalmist, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. It is good for me. I profited through the affliction. Just consider further. Have we not learned of the Lord's love that is set before us in Scripture in affliction? His grace, that He so favours us. His mercy. I have learned so much of the mercy of God in the veil of affliction. And therefore I am thankful for the veils of affliction that lead me to consider the mercy of the Lord. His grace. How often we have proved those words, my grace is sufficient for thee. My grace. We thank the Lord for the affliction that has taught us more of God's grace. How the word comes home to us, often in affliction. You see, the affliction drives us to the word, and the Holy Spirit drives the word home to our hearts. I thank God for the affliction that drives me to the Lord and His word. Well, consider one further thing this morning. The scriptures teach us to exercise faith. How God uses affliction to help us refocus and trust in the Lord. You remember what Job said? Job 13 verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Yet will I trust in him. And it's a precious thing when we write in the heart of the affliction, we look up to the Lord. And we trust him. And we know that calm in the soul, in resting in the Lord. You know, we think of this storm. Thankfully, we do not get whirlwinds like they do in America, in this country. But you think of the whirlwind, so strong, the winds are circling round, but right in the middle, there's the calm. And what a blessing when the winds of adversity are circling around us, but we're in the middle, near to the Lord. And the Lord has his way in the whirlwind, as we see in Nahum, and there we are, we're looking up, and we're considering the sun. And there's that calm in our hearts. Yes, we may face again, and we may be troubled in the wind of affliction as it moves on us. But oh, in affliction, to trust the Lord. And is it not true? The Lord has often used the affliction to help us so focus on him. You see, he's weaning us off this world. He's causing us to refocus. You know, at times the believer can get a little settled in this world. And we must be very careful here in the West. You think of 60,000 believers in North Korea today. And I'm sure some of them are very anxious. But I expect many of them are being so helped to focus on the Lord, and that this world is not their home. You see, the Lord can use affliction to wean us off this world and to help us to refocus on our home and help us to press forward. The Puritan Thomas Watson wrote, "Afflictions quicken our pace to heaven." Afflictions quicken our pace to heaven. We long to go there. We're looking to heaven. Thank God for the affliction that quickens your pace, that you're so focused on the Lord. Oh, to focus on heaven, but also then particularly on Christ. And thank God today. If some affliction has come your way and it's hard, yes, but you've been brought to just cast yourself on the Lord and to refocus and to consider your home. Can you say this morning, it is good for me that I have been afflicted? The Lord is acting for your good. Will you respond, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes? And as I close, you think of the word of God. The Lord speaks to us. We often hear most of the voice of the beloved when we're in the veil of affliction. You see, the affliction drives us to him in his word, and we hear his voice. You see, the Lord was with his disciples in the storm. The Lord is with us in the storms we face. Let's listen out for him. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Afflictions can be so hard. But can you say to God this morning, the God of all providence, and his providence is most holy and wise, Lord, it is good for me to be afflicted. I'm growing in grace. I'm loving thee more. I'm causing to trust thee more and more. You see, here the psalmist is singing in the valley of affliction. And as we think of these words here in the psalm, just think again. These words were inspired by the Lord that they might be sung unto him. Can you open your lips this morning and sing these words and worship God in affliction and worship God by recognizing his hand of providence and the good that you are knowing in affliction? This is strange to the world. May it not be strange to the Christian. May it be a song on their lips in thanksgiving to the Lord. Amen. Let us pray.